this show, God Friended Me. I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to check it out. And the guy who is an atheist, who doesn't believe in God, and, said he prayed for a miracle and his mom was healed. Cancer went into remission. But on the way from the hospital, when they had found this out, she got killed in a car accident. And he said, there's no way that a God who is sovereign would allow something like this to happen. Here's the reality. Sometimes some things happen in life. Anybody ever had some stuff that you don't understand? Sometimes some things transpire in life and you're wondering, like, God, what in the world is going on? Well, here's what's going to happen today. I can't promise you that you're going to get all the answers to what you're looking for, but I can promise you this. I want to preach a message that rebuilds your trust, that gets you on a path to figure out how you can move forward in life. So the title of my sermon today is What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Anybody been there before? You got to do something, but you don't know what to do. The scripture I'm going to use is Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar scriptures on the screen there. It says, trust in the Lord with, somebody say, all your heart. And it says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Somebody say, my path. Well, the translation here says, he'll make your path straight. So here, I'm going to give you a couple steps on what to do when you don't know what to do. I'm going to just make sure I'm in the right room here. Anybody ever been there before? You got to do something that you don't know what to do? Anybody there right now just kind of curious? I can't tell you, as I said before, that I'm going to give you the answer today. But hopefully you're going to get on the path to trust that God's going to work this thing out. The first step to doing this is just trusting the Lord with all thine heart is this. You got to trust God to put his plan in your heart. Trust is this. There are many definitions, but for the sake of today's sermon, I want to say this. Trust is your ability to allow something or someone to do what it's capable of doing in your life. Growing up, we didn't have wireless mics. We had mics with wire. You remember growing up in church, and there was a wire that came out and plugged into the ground. We are trusting a wireless mic to connect to a base in the back and not interrupt with your cell phone signal to produce and magnify my voice. So I'm trusting this thing that when I hit the power button that it comes on. You trust every day, even though we say we have trust issues. That's why trust can be iffy. Because the moment you put your trust in something, you have an expectation that this thing is going to deliver. That's why trust is not verbal. Trust is behavior. Trust is not just, I'm going to do this. It's, are you going to do this? So when something doesn't deliver the way you think it should, your trust is damaged. And here's the reality. Let me give you an analogy. How many of y'all have ever flown in a plane before? Am I afraid of flying here? We can have an altar appeal right now. We can pray that thing off of you. All right? So here's the reality. Many people in here flown in a plane. How many pilots do I have in the room? No pilots in the room, right? No pilots in the room. So let me tell you what you do. Now, many of us are some backseat drivers. Any backseat drivers in the room? You get in the car, you fuss the whole time, you miss that turn. Did you see that red light? You didn't stop right there. Did you see that car right there? Get off that phone. Drive. When you get in a car, you can be a backseat driver, and if you don't like it, you can say, put me out, or I'm going to drive. Here's the reality. When you get in a plane, you trust the pilot that you cannot see, who sits in a cockpit, flies you 35,000 feet above the air at a rate of 450 to 500 miles per hour, but we say we got trust issues. And some of you have the nerve to read a book, go to sleep, listen to music, but we say we have trust issues. I don't think many of us have many trust issues as we have control issues. Am I talking to anybody in here? Riding in the car, if you don't like it, you can get out. You can fuss. You can do all those things. But I've never heard, because they will put you off that plane, I've never heard of many passengers fussing at the pilot. You can't just walk up there and do all that. The reality is God is saying, I want your faith to be like flying a plane. I want you to sit back. I know you can't see me. I know you're far above everything that I want to take you far above everything you're dealing with. I want to take you at a pace that you never imagined. But he said, I need you to trust me. He said, I don't need backseat drivers. I need you to handle your responsibility while I do my thing. Look at your neighbor and say, let God be God. I'll tell you this. I can't understand a lot that God does, nor can I explain a lot of things. You know, you've always heard people say, don't question God. Well, here's the thing. If I ask God a question he can't answer, he must not be God. God can handle your questions. God can handle your curiosity. God can handle all your emotions. So are things that you have bottled in about life that you're afraid to ask God, what's up? God said, I can deal with them because it doesn't change the fact that I'm God. He said, what I'm trying to build is your trust. And many times when you're at the end of your understanding, it's not really the end. It's just the beginning of this incredible journey that God wants to show you something great. If I would trust anything, I would trust God. The whole point of trust is this: to get you to believe and receive something beyond what you can do. When you trust God, you get his plan and his perspective for your life. That's why, watch this, you trust with your heart. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart is where you believe. You don't trust with your mind. Your mind is where you think. That's why you have this constant tension and battle inside of you, because you can't understand what it is that you believe. I believe that God's going to take care of me, but what I see and what I think is in contradiction to what God has said. Has anybody ever been there before in life where you know God has said one thing? You believe God to be this, but in your mind, you can't wrap your head around what God is doing right now. That's why trust occurs in your heart, and your understanding is a lot of times the last thing to catch up with what you believe. So God said, I want you to trust me, and your understanding is not bad, but it's going to catch up with where I am in life. So when things don't make sense in our mind, many of us shut down. But God said, listen, there are many of you in this room who don't understand what's going on in your mind, but I want you to trust me with your heart, because I got this under control. Touch your neighbor and say, God's got this thing under control. So Satan wants to keep you in this battle of trust where you're trying to outthink God. Anybody like me, you try to outthink God. You try to be two steps ahead of him. And God said, I got this. I'm going to take care of this. So trust is essential, because it's going to connect you to something bigger than where you are right now. Because watch this. Just tell your neighbor. It's the last time I have to talk to him. You don't know everything. Tell your neighbor, you don't know everything. You don't have everything. And you can't do everything. So you have to trust something bigger than you. Anybody believe that in here? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. You got to let God's plan develop your understanding. There are two types of understanding. There's a human understanding, and then there's an understanding called faith. Faith is where I trust God's plan. Human understanding is what I know and what I can comprehend. All right? Let me give you some points of understanding. Before I get there, let me show you how God's understanding works. God's plan develops your understanding. We live in an age of smartphones where I can take a picture and post it within 5 seconds. When I was growing up, and even some of you are older than I am, you remember that you didn't get pictures instantaneously unless you had this Polaroid, that you put this black cartridge in, and it would put this picture in this white frame in this plastic thing. Y'all remember that? It would put it out, and you wrote somebody's name or whatever on the bottom of the picture. But if you really wanted a picture done, you had to send it to a place, and it took them a couple weeks, and they put it in a dark room. And in those dark rooms, there was no light. There was very limited light that could be in there. But what a dark room did is it took an image that had been captured, and in those moments, it put it in a solution that developed the image that had been captured so that you can see a full-color picture. What God does is he put an image in your mind, a vision of a plan for your life, and he puts you in this place that he called a dark room where your faith is developed. You can't see anything. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. But God has you in this cocoon. God has you in this place where he can slowly develop things on the inside of you. That's why you want to flip out, but there is this peace that passes all understanding. And you're trying to explain to people what's really going on in your life, and nobody can really see what's going on the inside, because God has you in the dark room. He is developing this vision, and you're saying, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Am I talking to anybody in here who have experienced some dark room moments in your life where God has given you this vision, but he's working on something on the inside of you? I told you I wouldn't have you talk to your neighbor. Just say this. Say, I'm working on something. No, you don't have to tell your neighbor. Just say it. I'm working on something. So the scripture said, eyes haven't seen. ears haven't heard, neither have it entered into the heart of mine, that heart of men, the things that God has for him. Here's the thing about your understanding. Your understanding is not bad, it's just limited. And it has to be developed to follow God's plan. Let me give you some points about understanding. Here's the thing about understanding. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's wrong. Many of us, when we don't understand it, it's foreign to us, it must be wrong. And you don't have to, this is going to be a big contradiction to many of you, you don't have to understand to trust God. Half of the stuff that you've been through, you didn't understand it while God was carrying you through it. Until now, when you look back on it, you say, Lord, I thank you for what you kept me from. I didn't understand what this was happening right here. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. Oh, that makes sense why you did this, God. That makes sense why you did that, God. God will develop your understanding along the path. Your understanding is good, but it's limited. There's nothing about understanding. We don't know what we don't know. And it's hard to talk to somebody who don't know what they don't know. Because there is more to life than what you understand. Does anybody have kids in here? Have you had many frustrating conversations trying to explain to a teenager, a preteen, or an elementary student that there is more to life, that you've been in the fifth grade? I know it was probably 50 years ago, but I've seen a whole lot of stuff that I need you to trust me on this. I know what you heard, but what you heard is not always what's said. I'm talking to somebody in here. What you hear is not always what's being said. You process things according to your understanding, and you don't know what you don't know, and many of us argue to stay stuck in our understanding. Another thing is this. Your understanding could be the box you're trying to live outside of. Many people are saying, I'm going to live outside the box. You could put yourself in the box by living purely by what you understand. There's a whole lot more to this world than what you understand. So let me walk you through your understanding. Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding. If this circle was the entire world, 25% of that is your current understanding. And outside of that understanding is what I don't know and what my understanding cannot see. My understanding is my experience. So it's someone, if God speaks to me and he says, Jason, I'm going to bring you and your people out. My experience can say all the African Americans are going to come out because I can see it through an African American lens. Your experience has shaped you. God said, I'm going to use you in a mighty way. And you just think the trauma that you've been through. You just think, okay, you think the economic experience that you've had. You think the social experience that you've had. And that's a limiting thing because there's a whole lot of people who've experienced more than what you've experienced. You all right in here? Your understanding is your business idea. God can give you an idea. But that's one piece of it. Man, I thought it was amazing. I've talked to several people in this. One guy, he was a builder. He said, man, God showed me a dream. He showed me a dream that I was going to build this thing that had a church on it, had a school on it, and had housing on it. And he got so frustrated because it wasn't happening. And I met a person who said, man, God told me to start a school. Another person wanted to start a church. Another person wanted to build homes. All the pieces are right there together. But your understanding is limited. And I finally asked the guy, and I said, can I ask you a question, the builder? I said, have you ever been the principal of a school? No. Have you ever pastored a church? No. Have you ever really developed a neighborhood? Absolutely not. I said, you have a certain level of expertise, and do you not know that your vision is connected to somebody else's? And when you don't trust and when you cannot connect, the pieces will never come together. Many of you are dreaming right now, and there's a piece of your dream connected to somebody else. But if you don't trust, if you see limited, you are limited in your scope of what God can do because you see yourself being the entire puzzle, and God never gives everything to one person. God proportions out what he wants to do and causes us to trust each other at the heart. That's why none of us can have a savior complex. So when you show up, you're supposed to be connected to something to build. Am I making sense in here? Bigger than what you are right now. The world is bigger than your talent. It's bigger than your expertise. It's bigger than your passion. God said, I want to connect you to something bigger than what you understand. You all right in here? The next thing is this, is my understanding, and outside of my understanding is what I don't know. What's outside of what I don't know? Because that scares many of us. Because outside of what you don't know could challenge you. It could cause you to grow. It could cause you to rethink things that you do. Outside of your understanding is the big picture. Big picture is life is bigger than Christianity. It's bigger than Believers Faith Fellowship. It's bigger than what you can do or what you can see. Outside of your understanding is game-changing moments and opportunities that we pass up because we're limited in how we see things. Outside of your understanding is a world of faith that God's trying to stretch many of you in. Outside of your understanding is the whole story. Anybody ever had a limited view of a story and then you finally connected with other people and figured out, oh, I feel kind of crazy now because I didn't have all the pieces together to make my decision. Outside of your understanding is the how to do what God wants you to do. Outside of your understanding is work, it's hindsight and insight. And God said, I am trying to stretch you. And here's what God says I want. I want your understanding to be developed by your trust in my plan. When God develops your understanding, there's an understanding of God. He begins to develop things far beyond what you ever imagined. I think sometimes one of the worst things that can happen to us if we don't have an understanding of faith is that we hold to something because we have passion and God gave us a great idea. God gave me I got on my knees and when we lived in Nashville, God said, Jason, it's time to move to Murfreesboro. We wanted Isaiah to go to school here. And I told you guys about it. And I delayed on selling the house. I didn't think we could sell it. I didn't think we could get it rented, anything. And God said, Jason, now it's time. I got on my knees. I said, God, I'm sorry for delaying and all those things. I told Barbara, I said, listen, I've drugged my feet. We're going to get this thing on the market. Do you not know God gave me that? And in one day, we put our house. I was scared to sell it. We put a rental sign in our house. And in one day, by the end of the day, we had a contract on it. And God said, I'm going to work this thing out for you. So we were just that quick getting ready to move to Nashville. I was in a tizzy. I told my daddy what was going on. I said, we got to get a rental space. We got to do this. We got to do that. He said, Jason, you don't need a storage space yet. He said, take all your stuff out and put it in the garage. I ain't putting it in the garage. Man, they got bugs out there, the spiders and stuff out there. He said, what do you think a storage place is? It ain't nothing but concrete and a floor. I said, well, Lord Jesus, that make a lot of sense. How many of us have ruined a God idea with human understanding? And God has to send somebody in that you trust. So what I had to do was suspend my judgment because after all, I could have seen his rebuttal as you're attacking God's plan. No, God told me to do this. And if God began to make a way, surely you're not going to stop me. Sometimes God's way of moving you forward is trusting somebody who's not emotionally connected to where you are, who can see a little further than where you are right now. Here becomes the challenge. Many of us don't start to develop trust until after failure. Failure is the way that many of us learn that what we are not doing is not working. Many of us are hard-headed just like me, and you have to bust your head against the wall. You got to find out for yourself. I'm going to sound real old when I say this, that fat meat is really greasy. You got to vicariously, you can't vicariously go through somebody else's experience. You have to find out for yourself. And failure is the way that many of our eyes are open, that my understanding is limited. And in those moments when you don't know what to do, when you have failed, it's embarrassing. You have to look at God and says, I trust you. My understanding is not working. But here's the challenging part about failure, be honest with you. Failure can do one of two things. It can either make you trust God that there's more, or it can make you bitter at success. When many people fail, the arrogant or prideful approach is, why is it working for them and it ain't working for me? They put their pants on just like I do. They do everything just like I do. And people get bitter when they fail instead of asking themselves, what do I need to learn and what do I need to do different? I said, I wasn't going to have you talk to your neighbors. So say this out loud. Say, I will not get bitter. Say it again, I will not get better. Failure will teach me to trust God. It's after failure that you can discover that God has a greater plan far beyond what you can ever imagine. But watch this. Trust should lead to faith, which allows the Holy Spirit to guide you versus just your understanding. It begins to develop something greater than you. I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I want to show you the scripture, and then I'm going to close it out. It says, this is on the screen, it says, but just as it is written, it's talking about the relationship of the Holy Spirit, how he worked with us. Things which eye have not seen and ear has not heard, that's your human understanding, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Everything that God has for you, you have no idea. You can't even comprehend it. That's why it's scary to make permanent decisions based off temporary situations and temporary emotions. because there's a whole lot more that you don't see right now. Verse 10 says this, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." I used to grow up in the age to say, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. That feeling was not an emotion. It was this thing on the inside of you that said, I don't know how it's going to work out. But somebody say, it's all right now. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says this, "For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us." Somebody say freely. God wants to give us some things freely, but we have to have the mind of God. Last scripture here. 13 says this, "Which things also we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom," that you're understanding, "but in those things taught by the Spirit of God, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit." The natural man will argue things of faith all day long. "But they are foolish to him." What do you mean you're going to come to Christianity? Ain't nothing out here. God's going, this is breaks every church planning model that there is. Don't go out there, Jason. God said, go here. He said, I'll turn somewhere into nowhere because you're there. That doesn't make sense, Jason. The book says this. You've made mistakes. You've ruined your reputation. You've done dumb stuff. Your credit score is negative. It's not even zero. You've messed up stuff. There's no way that God's going to use you. Your ends don't make me. They don't even look around the corner at each other. How are you going to do this? It doesn't make sense. It's foolish. But God says, it cannot be understood by them because they are spiritually appraised. There are some things that God wants to speak to you that doesn't make sense to the human mind. But they get a hold of your spirit. They get a hold of your faith. And you say, God, you know what? I know what the doctor's report says, but I trust you in the face of what I see. I know what my mistakes have been. I know what has happened in my life. But God, I trust your word. God, this is where I want to be in terms of a job, but there was no opening. But you told me that you're going to work something out. I don't see it on the job board right now. I haven't heard of this job been happening, but God said, if I put it in your spirit, I will create a position for you. Why? Because I'm God. And you going around telling people, God's going to do something for me. God's going to open up a door. I'm going to be working X, Y, Z. I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it. God knows. You all right in here? So it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Because here's the thing, a divine plan plus human understanding equals a chaotic path. We make things harder than what they have to be by taking God's plan and trying to put our effort with it, our understanding. This is how I think it should be, all right? God said, you make a whole lot of stuff chaotic. He said, here's how you live. A divine plan plus faith. This is what you want to see happen. This is how I want to see happen. Equals a directed path. I was asking God, what does this look like? He said, Jason, I want to show you. He said, do you remember? You know what they say, hindsight's 20/20? I look back now and see how God worked some stuff out, and I didn't even know what God was working out. Here's a challenge. At a job, and there was a guy who just, he didn't like me because at a certain point I wouldn't perform it. You know, some stuff people say, I got haters, and they just trying to hold me down. This guy had legitimate reason not to want to work with me. But my boss believed in me. He said, oh, Jason, he's smart. I had no idea all this was going on behind the scenes. If I would have known this, do you not know that there are certain things you're praying to find out that God want to keep from you? Did he just say that? Yeah, because watch this. Faith and fear both grow by information. And if you learn the right thing at the wrong time, it'll mess you up. If I would have learned what I thought at that time, I would have, I know we got a diverse crowd here, I would have thought the guy didn't like me just because I was black. Just because I was an African-American. It wasn't because of that. It was because I wasn't developed yet. So my boss kept stuff from me intentionally. And he put me on a path to show what I could do. He slowly allowed my confidence to be built. He slowly allowed me to get win after win. And after a while, when the guy saw that I could do what my boss knew was always in me, he set me in a room and said, this was what was going on. This is why I told you to go to that meeting. This is why I walked you through this report. This is why I was hard on you. This is why I told you to do this and I told you to do that. I know you did not understand, but I was working on some stuff on your behalf that you could not see, that I needed you to trust me, that I was putting you in the right position. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but somebody, God is orchestrating your path. You don't know why you can't do certain things. You don't know why you can't snap. You don't know why you can't go off. And you're God saying, just trust me on this. Let me order your path, because when God orders your path, he puts his favor on you. He says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He'll make folks like you who don't care for you. He'll make people bless you who want to see you go under. Why? Because I let God direct my path. Human understanding. If Jason Scales would have known, if this man didn't like me, oh, I'm coming for you, brother. No, I'm going to prove to you how smart I am. No, I worked too hard to get where I am. And God said, you don't have nothing to prove in this season. He said, just let me be God and let my favor, let my anointing do all the work for you. I got any fishermen in here? Me and my brother used to go fishing, and we go fishing at night, one of great memories. And we would bring a light out there with us at night, and lights attract bugs. And we find ourselves out there hitting bugs, and we did more fighting bugs than we did fishing. But there was this anointed utensil called off. And Mama had a spraying off on her arms, off on her neck, off on her face, off on her legs. And do you know what happened? While we were fishing, the off was working. Can I tell you that the anointing of God works the same way? You sit here fighting stuff that God said, let my anointing take care of it. You're frustrated by things that you, God said, if you'd let me direct your path, you are preoccupied with stuff that has no business being in your heart, has no business being in your mind. He said, let me direct your path so you can live, and you will find out what to do when you don't know what to do. Stand to your feet all over the building. I keep going, but I want to stop right there. Somebody in here, you know what God has spoken, but your faith hadn't kicked in yet. You're trying to wrap your brain. And I'm sorry to pull you back, but think about this. He says, trust with your heart, not your mind. You trust here because your mind is trying to wrap itself around. Just thinking through A, B, C, D. God said, listen, trust my plan. And let me develop your understanding like a picture is developed in the dark room. Because I have an image for your life. I know you're frustrated right now. He said, I know things are not happening like you thought they would. I know you don't know what to do. But he said, stop. I'm working on something. That thing that I showed you is going to happen. Give it time. Do you know what happens if a dark room is open before the picture is developed? That image is ruined and they got to start over. Many of us are taking ourselves out of production, and you see half of what you should see. God said, I know it's not comfortable. I know you don't understand it, but let me work on this. Because when he gets finished, without a shadow of doubt, everybody would know this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. Let me bow your head for a moment. Many of you are questioning God, faith, things, because it's not happening on the time you think it should happen. Not progressing as you think it should. And our mind is a powerful tool, but I'm going to ask you for a moment to rest in trust. Trust in your heart that God is working on something, and renew your mind to God's plan and God's timing. And there's a commitment that I want you to make. That God, I may not see it physically, but God, I want my faith to grow so that I trust you. And at the end of the day, you're going to direct my path. So, Father, I trust you. I take you at your word. Before I go there and even pray there, as you head, every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody in here, you need to trust God with your heart in terms of salvation. Committing your heart to the Lord or recommitting to him. God, I want to come back in fellowship with you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to forgive me of all my sin. If you're in here today and you say, I don't know God as much. The Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I want to recommit my heart to him. Just slip your hand up at your seat wherever you are. May God forgive me of my sin. Phenomenal. Here's my prayer for over every person in this room. I pray that you receive this. God, let me stay in the dark room long enough to develop the vision and the plan you placed in my heart. Let not my understanding rush the process. Let patience have her perfect work, that I may be whole, complete, lacking nothing. I trust you. I'll take you at your word. And I'll ask that you develop me according to your plan and not my limited understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do me a favor, just take a moment. I want you to talk to God. That's God to put his plan in his heart, in your heart. Ask him to slow you down where you need to slow down and speed you up where you're taking your time. We thank you. This is going to be a phenomenal week. Calculated week. I trust you. Take you at your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. You might be seated in the presence of the Lord. Can you put your hands together and bless God?